Sheikh Aboudour and Mamadou Kouidjim Touré, thank you very much for being here for this interview with All Africa. Sheikh Aboudour, you are the CEO of the Kalimat Publishing Group, a global publisher of children's books and educational content based in the United Arab Emirates. You are also involved in a number of regional and international initiatives to promote youth and women empowerment. Mamadou Kouidjim Touré, you are a thought leader and the founder of Africa 2.0 Foundation, which is a pan-African civil society organization made up of African leaders who share a collective vision for Africa and a commitment to finding and implementing sustainable solutions that will drive forward the transformation of the continent. So you have designed an inspirational and global initiative named the Ubuntu Love Challenge. Could you please tell us what this challenge is about and why you have decided to initiate it?
Okay, thank you very much, Seyna, first of all, for having us on this podcast and for also giving us an opportunity to interact with your audience and give further clarity to the initiative Sheikh Aboudour and I are driving. So yes, the whole idea, you know, if you look at the current context, was to create a global movement that would address some of the current challenges implied by COVID-19. As you know, it's led to a greater sense of hopelessness, but also a general atmosphere of fear, actually, where fear is becoming more contagious than the virus itself, right? And we believe that it was essential to, in those distressed times, to call upon, what makes us ultimately human in terms of what is our common bond as within humanity. And the key word, of course, would have come to mind in my case was Ubuntu. Ubuntu meaning I am because we are. And you find the same word similar in Rwanda, where they say Umubuntu. In Swahili, they say Utu. In Lingala, they say Abatu. It should basically have all those same roots about us humans, us, humanity in general. And it's this greater sense that we shared, common destiny and common intrinsic values. And how do we ultimately, in this time of distress, can actually respond to this global challenge is by calling upon our humanity, calling upon our solidarity, sharing, showing act of kindness and compassion, and admitting also our interdependence, right? And if you take the case of Africa as an example, it is that very Ubuntu that has made the continent over the centuries and decades, despite the challenges that we've gone through, to still remain resilient and to work as communities despite a difficult context that we may have gone through over the years, and still keeping our head strong. And I got stranded here during this coronavirus, and Sheikh Aboudour and I, are both young global leaders with the World Economic Forum, and I had a chance to share this concept of Ubuntu with her. And maybe Sheikha, you wanna share a few words about the whole genesis?
Yeah, thank you, Mamadou. And thank you, Seyna, for having us on this podcast. It's really an honor to be here. And Mamadou was just, eloquently explained everything about the Ubuntu Love Challenge. I don't think I can add any more to that. All I'll say is, I fell in love with the word Ubuntu when I heard it. And I really feel that it connects us to our roots. And, I'm so happy that we're on this podcast to talk about Ubuntu Love Challenge as an African concept. Because as you know, in our history, we all came from Africa, and that's really our mother, and our roots are essentially from the African continent. And at a time like this, it's really important for us to go back to our roots, to go back to our heritage and our ancestors to find truth. And Ubuntu, the concept and the philosophy of Ubuntu has so much truth, and it resonates so well in this day and age and with people from all around the world, you know, bringing kindness and compassion and love to the table at a very difficult time like this. So that's how I feel about Ubuntu. It resonated with me personally and with my community, and it has taken off so well here in the Middle East and globally as well. So we've had a few people take the challenge already. We've had a few people who have high profiles who've taken the challenge, like Tyrese Gibson, for example, and Maxwell, and Chris Gardner, and other artists and musicians and actors and thought leaders and business owners as well. And they're all contributing to the challenge in their own way. And that's something that we are also advocating for, that you could be from any background, from any walk of life, and take the Ubuntu Love Challenge. And you can do whatever you can to make this world a better place, even if it's just a smile, even if it's just, you know, helping your neighbor with their groceries. So no act is too small for the Ubuntu Love Challenge.
At what stage of your initiative are you right now?
So right now, we've launched the challenge. We 14th of April was our official launch date. And we have our website, which is www.ubuntulovechallenge.org. And on the website, we have all the information around the challenge and all the people who have taken the challenge. And it's also providing some background information about how this started with our Genesis video, and some information on the leadership and the thinking behind Ubuntu Love Challenge. We've activated many ambassadors and people around the world from different walks of life, as I mentioned, you know, from the Philippines to America to Africa to Asia to Europe. You know, everywhere you go, we've had, you know, videos of people taking the Ubuntu Love Challenge, which makes this a very global initiative. And we're encouraging more people to do that. So if you take the challenge, you have to challenge 12 people as well to take the Ubuntu Love Challenge. And we're aggregating all that information on our social media platforms. So on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, you can find us at Ubuntu Love Challenge. And on Twitter, you can find us on at Ubuntu Challenge.
No, I mean, I cannot agree more with Shekha. I mean, in just a few weeks, we've had more than, you know, 20 plus influencers and celebrities, right, from both private sector. And what is really interesting, we really invite citizens to recover their intrinsic power and to choose love over fear in a context where it is very important to shift the mindset, right? Because, you know, the main challenge that you face in general is how do we go beyond the crisis? And it starts in our head and in our hearts. And this is very important. And I generally refer to this concept of give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, teach him how to fish, he'll eat forever. It's important to give back. And it's all the more important to put people, to take people out of hopelessness and give them hope so that they can stand up and rise to the occasion despite the challenge and find solutions for themselves. And as such, we position ourselves at this platform of inspiration for people to find the strength within, to remember what makes them human and recover their intrinsic power to effectively make a difference for themselves, but also for their family and the people around them and their communities. And that way, we, as Shekha Boudou mentioned, all continents have started, and it creates what we would call a decentralized collective response to address this pandemic, right? And as such, you know, if we make love more viral than the virus itself and fear, then we have a strong chances to build a better tomorrow. And the reason why we chose 12, why we invite people to nominate 12 people is because when you look at the statistics, any person that would be contaminated by the virus would affect an average 11 people. So by challenging 12 other people to take an act of kindness, generosity, compassion, and to show their interdependence, then you have a chance to grow faster and become and to ultimately overcome this challenge. And we all know that it's not going to start here. There might be more waves, right? And you know, what I say generally in this context is resilience is when preparation meets incidence, right? And at this stage, we're dealing with an incident that might repeat itself, and we're calling people to be prepared by also shifting their mindset towards it. You know, and that's very important in the message and the point of inspiration. And what is powerful also about Ubuntu and African culture here is, you know, we invite people also to write poems, songs, right? Because we all know deep inside how much music, how much art, how much creativity can be the ultimate solution to deal with a problem that you haven't been taught how to deal with, right? And very important in our messaging.
Your project sounds really ambitious. How many people around the world would you like to reach?
Yes, for sure. I mean, the outreach is very important for us. And if we could choose one thing, the outcome for this would be to inspire people around the world and give them hope that there is actually goodness in humanity. And I believe that that is true. From the acts of love and kindness we've already seen, it's very contagious. So when somebody performs an act of kindness, you know, you see that amplified around them, around their community, their families, their friends, their social media connections. And that's what you really need right now in this world.
What are your current needs right now?
Sorry, Sena, also the point, you know, and Sheikh Abudur is absolutely right. We want to reach as many people as possible. But we also know that the beauty about changing people or shifting mindset cannot be quantifiable in numbers. It's more quantifiable or qualitatively analyzed in the way people react, in the way people interact with one another, right? And I think the world today is going towards an identity crisis, if I may. And that's why we chose the word Ubuntu. And I'll tell you why we consider it an identity crisis is that ultimately, the models that we've been using and looking up to are failing to deliver the results they used to deliver. And and more leaders and more people around the world are calling for a values-based leadership, right? And you know, and you have different ways of changing a society. Either you just change their leaders, or the people basically open their eyes or get inspired to do things differently. But you know, we won't have a surveillance system or tracker to check who is changing. But you'll see it most probably in a way, you know, new systems, new solutions will emerge, right? And that's also very important. So and as such, and we're starting seeing it, interestingly enough. When you look even on the continent in Africa, you have, within Africa 2.0, you have, for instance, people who are manufacturing, how would I call that, beauty products, basically, like Doreen Baya in Kenya, for instance, right? And then due to the pandemic, her business, of course, were not necessarily going anywhere, but she rose to the occasion. She felt inspired by some leaders or some messages and shift it into producing masks and gloves to serve the community. And that's an act of, that's what I call an Ubuntu attitude. And that's really what we want to impact on people. Show you Ubuntu, what's your Ubuntu, right? And show some Ubuntu attitude. And it's a long term, it's a marathon and not a sprint.
I mean, I just remembered this quote that I love from Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, who is a Sufi poet. And he says, you know, yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. But today I'm wise, so I'm changing myself. And I think change has to start from within. And that's what we're encouraging everybody to do, to make small changes within themselves. And that will be the trickle effect that we want. And it will ripple out onto their communities.
What are your current needs at this stage?
I'll step in. Right now we have been overwhelmed with the support we're receiving. I just have to say that. I mean, we've received such amazing support from everybody who has followed us on social media, engaged with us in our communications channels. And we've also given priority to their projects. So for example, you know, many of the initiatives that have been taken up during the Ubuntu Love Challenge have been highlighted on our website. So we have provided a resource of information on different foundations and charities and initiatives that are doing good around the world. So we have a repository of information on our website for people who want to engage in the Ubuntu Love Challenge but don't know what to do. So I encourage them to visit our website to get ideas and get inspired there as well. We really want people to amplify our message. So if you're hearing this and you want to support us, please share our links, go to our social media, tell your friends about us, take the Ubuntu Love Challenge, and help us amplify this message of love over fear.
We need people to just not be shy about it, right? I think, the reference that Sheikh Abdul Met made on I changed myself, right? I think we actually going even further than asking people to change themselves. We actually asking people to remember who they are, right? And to remember what makes us all human. And as in that way, indeed, we change ourselves, but we find ourselves, right? It's also this time where history will judge us. And for sure, we need as much as coverage as possible. We need, of course, people to post as many videos. More importantly, we would invite organizations, corporations to also take the challenge, right? Because at the end of the day, it's a collective effort. There's of course a lot that have a CSR program and so on, but it may be that time for any person or entity to act responsibly to build a legacy.
What will make people decide to connect and share their gift and act of love and kindness when they already do something in a more private way?
I think, one of the words we love to use is, and I would give credit to Mamadou for sharing this word with me, is the unsung heroes. You know, there are a lot of unsung heroes who are out there and they're doing good and we don't hear about them. So Ubuntu Love Challenge is there for them. That's why we created this platform, is to really give them a voice and to show what they're doing. You know, some people are shy. They don't want to say that they're doing this or doing that to help their community. But we want to encourage them to step out, because only by being an example and being a role model can you influence change. And so we would encourage them to take that leap of faith and to share their work with the rest of the world, because you don't know who you'll inspire by doing that.
Take the case of the entrepreneurs, right? So I believe we're moving towards a new earth, a new world where entrepreneurs have, and whether they're social or business entrepreneurs, right? They are the ones who will be changing this world, right? And indeed, you can do something on a personal level, but there are so many people trying to solve a problem within their community through a business, for instance, or through an NGO, right? And indeed, there are unsung heroes, as Sheikh Abudur mentioned, but more importantly, besides that, is how do you ultimately get the resources that you've been looking for? Where do you go to effectively for the world to know that you're doing this? Are you going to take a microphone and walk around the city? Are you going to fight with 100,000 other entrepreneurs to get an interview on TV or radio? No, the beauty today is that the world is digital. The barriers in terms of distance, in terms of time, and in terms of support are falling down. So it is a unique opportunity for a level playing field, right? So in my case, for instance, and I take a personal example, right? So yes, I reached out to Sheikh Abudur and say, we need to do something about it. Now imagine I just sat in my own corner and say, yeah, I don't want to talk about those things. Everybody has problems. No, it's important to project what you want to happen. And that's essential. And another personal story of mine is, guess what? I was lucky and privileged to be, let's say, one of those African immigrants to study. I mean, to go to, my parents were immigrants and I went to in Paris. And then when I went back to Africa, I was like, okay, but how many Mamadou Touré are there going to be around who will have the chance to basically get on a plane and get in one of those Ivy League schools? Not many. But today with the digital world, you can be at home and receive free teaching for somebody who wants to teach because they have time online. You can be at home with a disease or something that is paining you or your family. And with telemedicine, somebody, a doctor somewhere around the world or in another corner of this of the country may want to give time to help solve those things. So it's a whole interconnected world. We're actually being taken back to the very essence of Ubuntu, where we all interconnected. So project love, share your thoughts, share what you do. There could be somebody out there that might be doing exactly the balance or the complement of what you're doing so that together you can do something that is bigger than both of you.
I would just say, you know, we're very grateful for this interview, for giving us a platform to share our project, our initiative, and our mission with the rest of the world. This is a global movement, and we really encourage as many people as possible to join us, to be part of this movement, and to add their voice to the Ubuntu Love Challenge.
And if I may, the very essence of how this movement is global is you have an African who finds himself stranded in the Middle East and engage with someone from the Middle East to do something for the world in a time of crisis. How more global could you go than that?
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.